A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad to be with you on the program today. We're going to be talking with Kaylee Neiman from Gun Owners of America about the Goals event that's taking place in Knoxville, Tennessee this weekend. A chance for gun owners and Second Amendment advocates to get together. Not only get a chance to check out the wares from many of the manufacturers that will be on site, but also a chance to take part in a number of panel discussions and, you know, learn more about how to be more effective Second Amendment advocates. We'll talk with Kaylee here in just a minute. But before we do that, let's talk about this for a moment. Economists are warning us about massive tax hikes that could hit your IRA and 401k hard. With inflation rising and global uncertainty, it is no wonder that central banks and many Americans are turning to gold. If you haven't thought about gold yet, now's the time. Trust Priority Gold to help you diversify your savings with gold and silver. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD for a free gold info guide and see if you qualify for free shipping and storage. Experts agree that physical gold is one of the best ways to help fortify your savings. Act now to get your portfolio working for you while the market's golden. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD to learn more. That's GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD. And now, let's talk with Kaylee Neiman about this weekend's big event in Knoxville, Tennessee, the first Goals Summit. I'm excited. I just wish that I could actually be there. Take a look and a listen. Kaylee, thanks so much for coming on the program today. It's great to see you.
It's great to see you.
And this is unusual because there's nobody behind you right now. That's not going to be the case here in just a few days. I mean, we are counting down to the Goals event in Knoxville, Tennessee. Are you excited?
We're so excited. So I'm at the level 3 of the convention center right now. All of the busy work has started on floors 1 and 2. And so I'm kind of in the bat cave, so to speak, or I guess the opposite of a bat cave. But we're kind of hidden away so that we could share this experience. We're so excited. This has been a long time coming, and we're ready to see everybody in Knoxville this weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, I said off air that unfortunately I will not be able to attend because of my wife's health issues. But I said I'm upset because of why I'm not able to attend, but I'm also upset that I'm not going to be able to attend because this really is, I think, going to be an incredible weekend for gun owners and for Second Amendment advocates from all across the country. So what is the goal of Goals as far as you're concerned? What do you want to see happen this weekend?
Yeah, so the goal of Goals is the same as the goal of GOA, and that is to serve our membership and make us the meanest fighting machine for the Second Amendment. And so that's exactly what we're bringing to the table. We have over 200 vendors, 120,000 square feet of guns and gear downstairs. We have two stages going, from everything from how to testify at your local and state level to how to be a better advocate. And then the success stories that you, our members, have helped us create are going to be on full display. And so we're so excited to share this with our members. Like I said, it's been a long time coming. We've been getting requests for years asking us to do a convention. And 2024 is that year where we start this tradition.
Well, and again, I love the location, too. And I know it's kind of in your own backyard. Knoxville is a beautiful city. It's great that I think it's so accessible to people in the Mid-Atlantic and even in the Midwest. You know, it's an easy drive down Interstate 81 for me. It's right there on I-40. So, you know, if folks can get there in your car, I hate to fly, so I always assume that people are going to drive everywhere they go. But, really, it's a beautiful drive. If you can make it there this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, right, this is going to be open to the public.
Yes. It's open to the public. It's free for GOA members. It'll be $25 at the door to join GOA. And then there's also the benefit of what's happening after the convention closes. And so we have a comedy show with Johnny B, Johnny Appalachia himself, Mr. East Tennessee. And then Saturday night, we have a concert with Easton Corbin. Again, that celebration of the Second Amendment, a celebration of our membership. And so we were really excited to be able to kind of have a lot of after convention activities too, so that we can all celebrate as a community.
You know, and you talk about the stages that are going to be set up, and you know, folks are going to have that opportunity not just to check out the guns and gear, but really hopefully up their advocacy game, right? Because this is such a crucial time. Are you going to be talking a lot about the election this weekend?
Yes, it is. It is definitely an important election year. I feel like we hear that line every election season, but with as radical as the tickets are, it's very important that gun owners know how to research their candidates. We provide resources for that. The voter guide is definitely out right now. And so, it's very important. We're going to be talking a lot about the election, but we're also going to be talking about one key thing, and that's advocacy starts at home. And so it's very important that we as individuals realize, you know, this is a Second Amendment right. It's constitutionally protected. But if we're not active in that protection, someone is going to try to win that ground. And they have been successful at that in the past. We've been successful at pushing it back. But now is the time to take that advocacy effort forward and bring more successes home.
Yeah. And again, when you talk about this advocacy starting at home, I mean, all you have to do is look at what the gun control groups are doing. I despise the ideology of groups like Every Town and Moms Demand Action, but they're pretty savvy. I mean, they're running candidates for school board, right? They're running candidates for, you know, these local races, and they get that foot in the door. Not only then do they have the opportunity to, you know, impose their anti-gun agenda, in local school districts, local governments, but they're also training candidates. Today's school board official is tomorrow's congressional candidate, right? Mm-hmm. And the gun control lobby knows that. So I think harnessing the grassroots advocacy for gun owners and, you know, teaching them how to be better advocates, hopefully identifying some folks who could be good candidates, mm-hmm. I think is absolutely critical. I think you're spot on when you talk about the long game that we're playing here. We do have to make sure that we have boots on the ground at every level of government advocating to protect our right to keep and bear arms, to strengthen our right to keep and bear arms, and to roll back these restrictions where they're already in place.
Absolutely. And that's another reason why Knoxville is such an important thing for us to important place for us to have this first convention, because the county mayor, which is different than the city mayor, but the county mayor is under fantastic pro-2A leadership under Glenn Jacobs. And that's so important because every single level of government matters. Infringements can happen at any level of government. That's why we have the Second Amendment Sanctuary Advocacy, the Second Amendment Sanctuary Ordinance, excuse me, where advocates are able to go to their county level and pass these say-sos protecting the Second Amendment, because you have to do that. You have to be involved at every level of government. There is no secret sauce here. It's people who understand that this is a constitutionally protected right, that it is an important right, and that we must defend it at every level. And we also must teach this to our children. It's important that we realize that, you know, freedom is never more than a generation away from extinction. And we as parents and grandparents and community members, it's incumbent upon us to teach those values to the next generation.
Absolutely. And again, a great opportunity to do this is going to be a family-friendly event this weekend, right? Lots of stuff for the kids to do too. We haven't even really talked about that.
Yes, we have two kid zones, and so there's going to be lots of stuff, even an important announcement for kiddos. We've got a new project through our foundation that's launching this weekend. I'll tease it a little bit. And so there's a lot going on here for the kiddos. This is a family-friendly event. Spouse and kid tickets are free with a GOA member. Bring everyone out, have a great time, and it's going to be an awesome event.
All right, listen, will you do me two favors?
Sure.
Okay. I know you're going to need a day or two to recover after this is over, but will you come back next week for an after action report and talk about how things went? Doesn't Absolutely. Have to be Monday. I promise. We'll let you sleep in. And the second, will you save me a shirt? I know you guys are going to have, you know, the inaugural goal shirt. And even though I'm not going to be there in person, will you just hold one back for me?
I can do it.
Awesome. All right, Kaylee, listen, I hope this is a fantastic weekend. Again, this is the Knoxville Convention Center. You can find out more information by going to goa.org. Is there a special website that folks should go to?
Yeah, so goals.gunowners.org, or you can follow us on Instagram at goals_con.
All right. Well, I will be following along on social media this weekend. And Kaylee, thank you again for joining me on the program. I know that it is a crazy time for you right now, but I appreciate you carving out a few minutes of your busy day, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks to Kaylee for joining us on the program. And for everybody who is going to be in Knoxville this weekend, I am a little jealous. I hope you have a great time. Would love to hear more about it. I really was hoping to be there, but, family comes first. So, all right. Before we get to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report, let's talk about this for a second. With the volatility from this election, our national debt just breaking $35 trillion for the first time ever, there's never been a better time than now to consider physical gold or silver as a way to protect your savings. If this election goes sideways, there's a good chance that things are going to get even worse. The good news, though, is that there's something you can do now ahead of whatever future chaos might be coming. Wealth Protection Research has found a gold partner in Sasco Gold that specializes in helping everyday Americans protect their retirement accounts like 401ks, IRAs, or TSPs, using a loophole that allows them to convert into physical gold or silver tax and penalty free. You can learn more by texting the word TRUTH to 76626. That's right. You can break free from your captive retirement account and enjoy the peace of mind knowing that your retirement savings now stored in physical gold and silver that you control. If you're interested in learning the truth about how you can protect your retirement with gold and silver, you can get a free gold investment kit that explains it all from Sasco Gold just by texting TRUTH to 76626. Drew from Sasco standing by waiting to help. Just text TRUTH to 76626 to tell Drew that Cam sent you. For your free gold investment kit, text TRUTH to 76626 now. All right, in today's recidivist report, not a true recidivist report, but it is one of those, what the heck was the judge thinking here? Minnesota motorist who killed a pedestrian sentenced to probation. It's from KROC in Rochester, Minnesota. 36-year-old Cody Jezuski was behind the wheel of a BMW convertible when he lost control and hit two pedestrians last summer before he crashed into a tree. One of the victims, 58-year-old Carrie Rivero, pronounced dead at the scene. 63-year-old James Beller taken to the hospital in critical condition. Now, according to the charges, a state trooper who was on patrol was the first to arrive at the scene, found the wreckage of the car up against the tree. He described Jezuski as having bloodshot and watery eyes, slurred speech, a strong odor of alcohol. Court documents indicated that he admitted that he'd been drinking before getting into his car. A preliminary breath test conducted at the crash scene put his blood alcohol level at more than 0.13. Yeah. He was charged with criminal vehicular homicide, criminal vehicular operation, and then he took a plea deal and admitted to the criminal vehicular homicide charge in exchange for dismissal of the other felony count. Now, this conviction, according to KROC, comes with a presumptive 4-year prison sentence. But the judge departed downward from that, citing his amenability to probation. Of course, you're going to be amenable to probation when you're facing 4 years in prison. His remorse and his continued sobriety in granting Jezuski's request for a stayed prison sentence. He has been ordered to serve 1 year in jail with work release privileges if he meets eligibility. And again, placed on probation for 5 years. Now, I'm gobsmacked by this. I really am. You know, it is one thing to get a DUI. Nobody's injured. And again, maybe you're amenable to probation. Maybe you're going to turn your life around. But when somebody lost their life, another person was critically injured. I'm sorry. I don't care how remorseful you are. That remorse should not negate the punishment that is presumed to take place upon conviction or a guilty plea. And this is another example of Minnesota's soft on crime criminal justice system that I guess is approved by Governor Tim Walz, who of course has his own history with the DUIs. All right, or a DUI, I should say. On to today's armed citizen story from Riverton, Wyoming, where an 85-year-old man fought off what he described as a rational intruder who showed up at his front door on Friday night. The 85-year-old in question, Wayne Williams, said he heard a man pounding and kicking on his home about 11 p.m. Friday. He said he grabbed his pistol that he keeps for home defense, unzipped its holster, threw it on the bed, and then carried his pistol to the front door. He opened the front door, which he now says was a mistake. He said the guy was obviously irrational. He was saying that they sent him to my house. They said he owns my house. Crazy, crazy stuff, he said. The intruder, 6 inches taller than Wayne Williams, who's roughly 5'3". He's about 25 years old, so, you know, more than half Wayne Williams' age. And the intruder then shoved his way into Williams' home. Williams tried to fire a shot at the time, but he'd forgotten to rack around into the chamber. He said the intruder told him, go ahead and shoot me. He said, I don't know if he was trying to commit suicide at my hand or what he was doing, but he was able to push the man back outside. He said the guy was kind of uncoordinated, and the pair ended up wrestling on the front porch. They ended up falling down on the porch stairs, and Williams went down with them. He said, we both fell down the stairs. I was on top of him at that point, both trying to struggle to get to their feet while they're still, you know, going after each other. Then Williams fired a single shot into the dark, and he heard the intruder say, I've been hit. Thinks he hit the man's leg. Williams was able to duck back into his house, called 911. Riverton police officers arrived soon afterwards. According to the Riverton police, this is still an active investigation. They declined on Monday to comment beyond a preliminary statement issued Saturday, which says the incident appears to be a shooting in response to an attempted burglary. Wayne Williams says that he kind of felt like he was seen as more of the aggressor initially by responding officers. But again, he was in his home, had every right to be there at 11 o'clock at night. It was the intruder who did not. Williams says he's still concerned. He says, I don't know if I'll ever see that guy again. I don't know if he'll come back. At last report on Saturday, the intruder taken to the hospital was listed as in stable condition. He's not been identified. A list of charges not available. But I don't think that Mr. Williams is going to be facing criminal charges. And again, who knows what would have happened had this 85-year-old man had to go toe-to-toe with a 25-year-old acting irrationally, perhaps under the influence, without having a firearm to protect and defend himself. Finally, today, our good deed of the day, in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing, not far from Knoxville, Tennessee. Boone Lake, outside of Johnson City, Tennessee, where a group of strangers ended up coming together to save a child and a woman who apparently, according to police, was trying to kill them both. Kalina Young has been charged with attempted first-degree murder, aggravated child abuse and neglect, reckless endangerment, and open container after trying to drive her car with her child inside into Lake Boone. Chris Patrick was on his way to a birthday party when he drove by the incident. He said, my wife said, there's a baby. And I just went numb and I jumped in the water to get the baby. He said he didn't know how to swim. He said, that baby, I look at it, that's the future. And then the baby had spectators watching and I couldn't do that. I couldn't let that baby sit right there and drown. So Patrick was able to get to the toddler floating in the water. There were people across the cove who were standing on a dock. Patrick said he was a little frustrated. He was the only person to go in and actually save the baby. He said after the toddler was checked by first responders, he got a fist bump from the child and told his caretaker to reach out to him if they ever needed any help. The toddler right now is being watched by a family member. Brian Dollar said he got a call from his daughter who was swimming close to the scene, and he rushed down. He said, I just threw my keys and stuff on the grass and jumped in. Said he injured his fist trying to punch through the glass of the sinking car window to see if there was anybody still inside the vehicle. He said, I wasn't getting the window open, so I had to get in somehow. So I just tried to climb in the front, feel around as best I could, made sure that there was nobody else in the car. Sean Hilbert said his girlfriend alerted him that there was a car in the water a few yards down. So he rushed in and was able to actually get the driver, Kalina Young, out of the vehicle. He said the lady was so frantic. All she was saying was, my baby, my baby, my baby. He said, I'm trying to console her and let her know that her baby was fine. He said he's still trying to decompress after the chaotic situation. He says it was an experience. He says it was one I don't want to repeat anytime soon, especially if it turned out a different way. He said, I'm very blessed and thankful that it turned out everybody was okay, because cars can be replaced. Yeah. Now, the three men say they know about the charges against Young. They have differing opinions. One said the charge is justified. Patrick says she never tried to save her child. Mr. Dollar says it's up to the legal system to decide. Hilbert said he has seen a video showing Young taking her child out of the car and pushing the child away. He said, I think it was probably just a lot on her, more than she could handle, and she thought the easy way out was that way. But maybe she'll get help. Hopefully she'll get help. She'll get better. She seems like she could be resilient. Well, whatever the circumstances, and again, I guess the court system will figure that out. I am glad that the toddler and toddler's mom alive, thanks to the quick thinking and the fast actions, again, of these strangers there in Johnson City, Tennessee, in the right place at the right time, and willing and able to do the right thing. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. I want to thank you for being a part of the program, as always. Now, coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to be talking with Toby Leary from Cape Gunworks in Massachusetts about the referendum to try to undo Chapter 35. We'll also find out from Toby just how Chapter 35 is impacting gun stores in Massachusetts, even though now apparently the effective date's not until October. Yeah, I don't trust anything that the state of Massachusetts is saying here when it comes to these new gun control laws, because I think they're making it up as they go along. But we'll talk with Toby about that tomorrow. Be sure to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day today. We're keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information. And if you like what you see, I would encourage you to become a VIP or VIP Gold member. All you have to do is go to BearingArms.com/subscribe. Use the promo code SAVEAMERICA, and you can get a significant savings on your VIP or VIP Gold membership. We thank you very much for your support. Looking forward to seeing you back here again tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.